Hi Linda. Hi Tracy.
Hello.
Hi Mindy. Give everyone a moment to get here. I've got some noise right outside. Hopefully it won't last for too long.
Joanna, it looks like your vacation has been good from your radiance in your face.
Oh, Rosa, did you just say something by mistake? I had my sound off.
I just said it looks like your vacation was good from how radiant your face is.
Oh, thank you. It was a much needed and wonderful time off. Yeah, thank you.
And happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, our wedding anniversary is the day before my birthday. Side note, never get married the day before your birthday. But it was a really nice weekend full of celebrations. All right. Well, let's get started. So happy to see all of you. Cynthia, I'm glad that you're here. Welcome. I know you weren't able to be at our July retreat, so I'm so happy that you're here today. Let's take a moment and get centered and settled. And even with the noise that you might be hearing from my background, we'll just kind of let that come in and just be with us. If it gets really annoying, I will move. But let's take a moment and just get really centered and present. So I invite you, wherever you are, to either close your eyes, or if that's not comfortable for you, go inwards. Kind of metaphorically close the shades on your eyes. And take a moment to settle in, to arrive. Using the breath to bring all of you here. Using the breath to connect to your body and to all of the wisdom that you hold in your body. Using the breath to connect with spirit, whatever that means for you, and to connect with all of the sacredness. Together we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in and then out, and then allowing your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself present. So it's wonderful to see you. I've been thinking about, I saw some of you at our Sacred Rhythms retreat. And so a little bit more recently than some others of you, but I've been thinking about all of you. And I'm just really happy to be here today with you. This is our first integration session, and the session is, I used to not have integration sessions in advance, and over the last year, I added them as a way, as I said at our first retreat, advanced is really one of those programs where we're like tight container when we're together. And then looser container when we're apart. That's the nature of the experience. But I added these integration sessions as an opportunity for to integrate basically in between our tight containers to give what we're looking at our intensive retreats some more time to land. For you to have time maybe to practice with it, either with clients or to work with it on yourself or both. And then for us to have opportunity to come together with this shared language this time around of befriend your fear and to take a look at what's really been resonating, what's been working, what questions do you have, how do you want to go deeper with it? And basically anything else that you would like to bring forward. So that's really our purpose, is to further integrate and embody what we're learning. And so with that, to kind of get us started and set, let me first just ask you a couple of questions for you to jot down some answers. And the first question is, what's the one or two most important things that have either stuck with you since we were together for the Befriend Your Fear retreat? What are some things that have really stuck with you or evolved even since then? And even if you haven't, even if you walked out of that retreat and you haven't thought about fear or befriending fear since like the moment you walked out of that retreat, I promise you there's still things that have been with you under that cognitive level. So like take a moment and sense in what's been with you, what's been sticking, and what's evolved. I'm going to ask another question or two, and then I'm going to take share. So, Rosa, I'll take your share in a little bit. Here's another question. And if you haven't been working the techniques, that's okay too. No judgment at all. But if you have been working the techniques, either with others, with clients, with coaching partners, or with yourself working it in any way, what is it that you want to celebrate? What's been going well? And you know what? I am gonna move because this noise is not letting up. And then last question. What questions do you have? What questions have been coming up for you as you've been working with the technique or thinking about the technique? All right. I'd love to hear some shares and questions and how it's been going. Rosa, do you want to start us off?
Oops. Sorry. Hi. Well, just talking about fear, I'm feeling pretty panicked at the moment. And I just want to say that I realized that I just got caught in the swirl of the next thing and the next thing, and I was at the sacred rhythms and it was wonderful, and but like it's all just kind of merged into, Joanna's wonderful, and I know that I have it in my body. So I got a little distracted there because I was downloading the checklist to just kind of jog my memory. And I, for one, would love to have to figure out some way of keeping this more alive between the sessions. But with regard to fear, what's been going well, I just want to say that in my own life, I feel like I've been being more compassionate with myself around fear and more willing to just look at it. This might sound small, but I just finished filling out some health insurance reimbursement reforms, and this was pay, like reimbursement paperwork. And this was a thing that my husband used to do, and now I'm doing them. And I don't know. It's like I have this huge fear of paperwork, and I took it slowly. And I don't know that I actually, yeah, I did kind of look into it. It's like fear that they'll say no when I looked at that. And well, at least I will have gained learning and becoming more comfortable in doing the paperwork, even though they did say no. And so I did kind of work myself through that whole thing. And I feel really good about it because I was procrastinating and procrastinating and procrastinating on filling out this paperwork. And then I finally did that. It just feels really good. And on a bigger level, I have signed up for a mega, lifestyle change program when it comes to eating. And this is a big thing for me because I realize I've been doing emotional eating since I was 8 years old for lots of good reasons. And I had been feeling, I think, really hopeless that, like, at my age, there's anything I can do about this. But I stumbled across this program on Facebook that is for older women in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and up. And there was a significant amount of fear at the investment and at the commitment and at the thought that, well, if I try this and what if I, fail at it and whatever. And I'm on the program and I am already eating in a very different way than I have before. And I'm looking forward to this really being a life change. So that is a really, 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 really major thing that is going well that I want to celebrate, and that definitely involves stepping through some fear. So
Yeah. Thanks for getting us started off. And there's a lot in what you just said, and I want to pull some of the pieces for all of us. So first, I just want to acknowledge and celebrate the I think there's two, at least two celebrations in there. One, stepping into the program, and it feels like there is a good amount of fear that whether you realized it or not at the time when you stepped in that you were working with, in order to get there, and things are changing. Yay, that's amazing. And then the paperwork, which also feels like, we can say, oh, it's just paperwork, whatever. We're adults, we should just be able to do it, no big deal. But that's not the case a lot of the time. And the word that you used, even if you haven't been consciously thinking about fear, the word that you used around it lets me know that there's not that it's new for you, I'm sure it's not, but still that there's something working through you on everything we looked at in July. And you used the word compassionate. And as a reminder for you and for all of us, one of the first foundational, energetic as well as strategic pieces that we want to have in mind as practitioners when we support our clients through fear and when we're working with our own fear is to have compassion for our client and for the fear itself. To have compassion for the client and for the fear itself. This energetic piece can go such a long way. It's really at the core of what it means to make friends with fear. We can't make friends with anything that we don't have compassion for. We can't relate differently or in more effective ways or aligned ways with something if we don't have compassion. So I do want to say that I think even if it's felt like, oh my God, I need the checklist and the things, you know, it is good to go back to notes and all that. We'll get to that in a moment because that's the other piece I want to pull out. It does feel like there are pieces that have been working through you on this, Rosa. Does that resonate for you?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I just want to say, Joanna, that while yes, I've been working with different compassion practices over time, being around you has deepened my compassion for myself in all kinds of ways. So I just want to really thank you and appreciate you for that.
I'm taking that in, and I'm so happy to hear it and that you're deepening your compassion. Now, I'm so glad you mentioned the first piece that you said about in between sessions, you know, how do I come back to this more? Because again, it is looser in between sessions. I've got some thoughts on that, but I'd love to hear, and Cindy and Michelle, I'll take your hands after this. But first, I'd love to hear from the group. What are some ways that you've been working with the material in between? If you have been, like, how have you been keeping it alive inside of you? How have you been evolving it? Or if you haven't, what are some ideas that you've been having around that? I think this is a great piece for us to kind of share wisdom and thoughts and experience on. Linda.
Well, I don't think I consciously had done much of anything. And so when you're asking this stuff's coming up around, oh God, I didn't get anything done and all this chatter going on. But you just said, because you said, we can do this stuff for ourselves. And it was sort of a duh moment. Like if you don't have clients, just, practice on ourselves to go through the list and the questions and the process. And I do that kind of thing a lot anyway. So that you just gave a good idea for me.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm so glad, and I'm so glad you're underscoring it. It's great to practice with others. It's a great reason to have an accountability partner in the program, but also working it with ourselves, even if, like we were saying in the retreat, it's maybe hard to hold space for like a visualization for ourselves, but journaling with our fear, whatever, even just coming back to feeling it in our body and feeling the compassion and the love towards it, however we can work it with ourselves is so helpful. Stacy.
Hi, so I connected with my accountability buddy, and on the call, we both admitted when we were in Sacred Depths together that there was a lot of material and we were going through it so felt quickly on my level of absorption and processing. And so we decided we were going to get out our calendars and schedule practice sessions with each other in the 1 week, and we actually did it. And the thing that helps for me to keep it alive is using it on myself. Also, having the Befriend Your Fear sheet, like just having the printout around my house and I keep it up on my bed, and I write down like the questions that you modeled in the demo session, the way you worded the questions. I, you know, like wrote them all on the back, and then I just kind of review it. And what I noticed is that for me, you know, this for advanced, what I wanted to get out of the course was to really fully embody the process. And I don't feel like I know myself enough now that I can't sell something. And for me, it kind of keeps coming back to sales. I know it's kind of funny, but I can't sell what I'm doing unless I know it works. And so I'm vetting it. I'm like trying it on. I'm practicing this BYF process, and I'm really kind of leaning into how deep does it go? Like how deep can I allow myself to go with it so that then I can energetically get behind that and put the word out to my clients and believe that yes, this works. Yes, this is a transformational tool that I fully believe because I've experienced it deeply. And so in the session with my partner, I did experience a deep shift. And that day, I used the BYF process with every one of my clients that week. And one that stood out in particular, I've been having difficulty with her. And I reviewed in my mind before the thing, and one of the lines that popped out at me was allow, 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 allow. And I just leaned so far back and gave her space to not even set any type of agenda that there was going to be an addressing of her fear. Even though I kind of felt like this fear has been bubbling up for over a year, she wasn't ready. And so I just let it be and kept acknowledging that she was struggling with this piece, but she was so resistant and unwilling to name it. And just the allowing of it allowed her to step into starting to admit it was there. And she did that because I stepped back. And there were so many people in her life telling her she needed to deal with this thing. So the space of the learning of just focusing on the allowing and being the compassionate witness, I feel like it's working, and I'm so excited for how this is really showing up in my life personally, because I also feel like the movement in my business is that I've gotten way more in touch with the fear of being like literally on stage. The fear of being imperfect in front of other people, the fear of comparing myself to other coaches and other healers and people who are out online and with their marketing message, and like, oh, do I have my message right? I don't know, but I'm moving. I'm trying. I'm willing to experiment, because the fear has held me back for so long. And yeah, I just feel like I'm practicing what I'm working with my clients with, and that's super helpful.
Thank you, Stacy. Such a beautiful share all around. And first of all, so well done. Thanks for sharing that client story. I think it's just helpful and also a big celebration. And I love that what you said about like you vetting the material, right? And not selling anything unless you believe in it. And also, you didn't say this, but tell me if I'm getting this right, like that you've found your way through it, like your unique way, which can change and evolve and there can be many ways. But what I also hear you saying in the kind of coming back and the practicing and exploring is you finding Stacy's way to hold space for befriend your fear through it all, which I think is so important.
We even laughed when we were practicing, because I said something with the tone of voice exactly the way you said it. We both cracked up. We're like, oh, I was being Joanna in that moment. I'm like, okay, let me get back up. Let me say it in my way.
I love it. I love it. And you know, just to say, I think that's a way of learning too, is like first you emulate the model and then you find your, then you can play with it and find your way.
Right. And that's such a great lesson for me too, as a coach. Like a lot of my clients they are already have their spiritual identity. They already have their sense of self and their strategy. And so they're not coming to me to get, in my mind, it's like this whole conversation of they're not coming to me to get the formula for where they know they want to go. And so what is it that they're emulating from me? What is that? What am I modeling for them?
Yes.
It's such a journey.
And that's back to energetics. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. And I love that you have the printouts, which can be helpful for certain kinds of learning, for sure. Having the printouts and keeping them around.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thanks. Tracy, did you have your hand up for this, Tracy, or for something else?
No, I did. Hey, everyone. So happy to be here. I just want to tell you that the retreat was really, really powerful for me, because one of the things that it did was it really showed me the meaning I give around fear. Like, what am I making this fear mean, you know, in the moment? And I've never been one to shy away from fear or bypass, you know, but I was giving it so much energy that it was sometimes crippling, you know? So I really started to notice in a really beautiful way how this fear was evolving as I really got more intimate with it, like in really powerful, deep ways. And what showed up was all the ways that I was being asked to elevate and the fears that were coming up around that. And I was like, oh, the universe just has such an amazing, funny personality, because it's like, oh, okay, so you think that, you know, you're giving it more meaning. Well, let's see what you really believe and feel about fear in these moments. So it was almost like this ever evolving, constantly me looking at the energetics of it, writing and journaling, like, what am I feeling at that moment? And really understanding, not from the neck up, but really feeling in the body what this fear was showing me and how I could sit in the mystery and what was uncomfortable, but like gain so much clarity from that. So that's what it showed me. And then in working with a client, one of the things that she said to me, which still just like touches me so deeply, and we're actually going to be having deeper conversations, is she said to me, I really want my life to evolve, but I don't know if I have the courage to do that. So we really unpacked what was underneath courage, and it really was about the fear of some things. So I took her through the process that you shared, and empathy came in. Compassion came in, kindness came in, listening came in, how I was holding space for what she was sharing or what she wasn't sharing. And so just that level of depth of asking questions, of listening, being still, and just holding this beautiful space for her to even sit in the mystery of, oh, I thought it was courage, but really in my roots, it's about the fear. And so we just really worked with that. And I feel like it's just been this beautiful evolution, not only in me and in my clients, but I have a program called Evolution of Self. And I'm even seeing how that's evolving as I really have sat with my fear and the energetics of it and where I am today with it versus where I was before. So thank you.
Thank you. I got chills as you were sharing your client story. Awesome. Just so well done. So many big celebrations. And I love this piece that you're sharing about what is the meaning that you're giving fear, which is so important. So thanks for pulling that out. And then this other piece that you're talking about of being present with it, that's another way for everything that we learn here. just this be so yes, we can have journaling sessions and visualization sessions, which I recommend, I recommend, I recommend, and our partner's holding space for us if you have an accountability partner. But also this, even if it's just once a day or a couple times a week, to notice in the moment when the fear is there, and to just take that pause in the moment, and as you said, feel it in your body so that you can just start to relate to it in a different way. Ask, what's the meaning I'm giving this right now? Or what is this telling me right now? Or just that little practice can make such a difference. Such a difference. So thank you.
Thank you. One thing I want to share that I got from this retreat, and it's a big thing, is we learn all these concepts, right? And the mind is super crafty, super busy, tells these stories. And I'm like, it's beautiful to learn the concepts, but I really desire to feel them versus knowing it from the mind. It's like, how can I feel it in my body so that it becomes. It's more of an ease and a flow. And so that's been probably the biggest piece for me.
Yeah, thanks for adding that. Absolutely, the cognitive so important, but we want to activate that somatic level, the heart level too, the spirit. It kind of all comes together in the body. Yes. Cindy's saying in the chat, working with material by reading it once a week, discussing it with your accountability partner. Yes. Mindy's saying, keeping it in the forefront of my mind, putting it into practice whenever I notice it's an opportunity to apply it, which has been quite often the last few weeks. Yes. I always, in addition to all of the reasons why I love the Befriend Your Fear retreats, on a one of the personal reasons why I love it is because when I teach it, it reminds me again more often to be with it, to apply it in the moment as well. So I feel like I've been doing that as well. Rosa's saying, can we add the category practice partner, not just accountability partner? That's a great suggestion. I know that a lot of the accountability partners have also been practicing, but maybe for those folks that want to just practice, yeah, I'll work on that. Awesome. Cindy.
What was the question again? No, just kidding. One of the things I really appreciated in the 2 days was the triads, working in the triads and practicing. That was very, very powerful. Being the coach, the coachee, and the observer, I really saw the benefit of all three roles and really appreciate having the time to do that. I also really liked when you role played with Ray, just to watch and listen to you. It just really helps with what the steps and how you go from one comment she makes to the next. And then my question is the Befriend Your Fear dialogue. So I used it with a new client. I was practicing with her. And so I have two questions. One is, how soon do you go into the dialogue? Like, so you know, I was talking to her like for 15 to 20 minutes, and I think it was at about the 30-minute point that I went into the dialogue, because it, you know how you can just keep talking and it feels like you're more consulting? It's like, I'm not hearing the word fear, but I appreciate whoever said it before, maybe it was Tracy, is that what was underneath the fear? Like, the word fear was never used in the conversation. And then all of a sudden there was something she said, and I said, well, would you like to do this dialogue on Befriend the Fear? And it worked very, very well. So I too have printed the sheet. So I've got like a whole binder here, like four. So, okay, fear. So I think I'd lose them, Stacy, if I left them around the house. So I keep them in my binder. But the order that you have the questions in are excellent. And it really helped me to go with the flow with this new client. And then when it got to the end and I was to ask her about booking to be a coach, then all my fear came up. And I'm like, well, let's just talk about the fun thing here. And I'm like, oh shit. And you know, told her what my prices were for 3 months and 6 months. And she said, yep, sure, I'm gonna take 6 months. And I was like, I didn't even hear that she said she'd take 6 months. I thought 3 months, and I'm like, okay, and I'll send you a contract so you can let me know if you want to pay in full or pay by payment plan. And I'm like, oh my God, I got so into fear. My question is, how do I slow that down and like maybe ask more questions about how she's going to pay? You know, you've done this all lovely talking about fear, and then we're talking about money.
Okay, so this was an enrollment conversation.
Yes, it was.
Awesome. Okay, good. So first of all, congratulations on using the process, on bringing on a new client. Yay! Really, really well done. Okay, so the first question was how soon to bring it. And I think with an enrollment conversation, it's different than if it were an existing client coaching session. I don't often bring befriend your fear into enrollments. I do sometimes. I love that you did. So I wanted to just make sure I say that you don't have to use that and for everybody in every enrollment conversation. Generally, so there are a couple of things to think about, whether it's a little bit different. So let's focus on the enrollment conversation if you're going to use it there. Generally, I'm guessing that your enrollment conversation is about 45 minutes to 60 minutes. So if you're going to do a longer BYF process, really no later than 30 minutes in, so that you still have time for all the other things that you want to accomplish in that enrollment conversation. I do want to note for everyone, whether it's a client coaching session or an enrollment conversation, sometimes you might want to do a full befriend your fear process, but other times just a kind of connecting in and just sending love and compassion and friendship to the fear and just ask it, like, what do you want me to know from your highest vision? What do you want me to know right now? That's something that can take 3 minutes. That can just be very helpful and move along. You might want to circle back to a bigger process and then working persistently and consistently on it. But that's always an option too if you want to drop into the body with fear, especially in an enrollment conversation when there's a lot of things you're wanting to accomplish. And then the last thing I'll say about timing is sometimes we need, and in an enrollment conversation, you're activating gap and you're activating vision. There's things that there's things you want to hit. But kind of outside of that, sometimes if I'm working with a client, even if the word fear isn't said, if I sense there's a fear, I will use a creating awareness technique to ask and see if I'm hearing that correctly, and name it. And then if that resonates with the client, I'll ask them if they would like to take a deeper look at that. So you don't have to wait for the word fear to come out of the client's mouth. Does that answer the first question around timing?
Thank you.
And then in general, I would say, depending on how long a client session is, you don't want to introduce the process in the last 15 minutes of the session. You want to give it time and space, and then also to have the time and space after the process itself. In terms of your fear that came up, so much we can look at around this, but I think a couple of things that would be helpful right now. So I think first is, what is the fear that came up for you, Cindy?
Was it too much money? Would she sign up? Would she, does she have the money? She was 28, so she just came back from Bali. So she had some money because she was there for 6 months training
Yeah,
in
so
yoga
this.
and meditation.
Yeah. So this fear of, is it too expensive? Does she have it? Is she gonna say no because it's too much money? Right. So tell me how this lands for you, but my invitation for you would be to start working with that fear, do some dialoguing with that fear, and see what it it just first just to be with it, because everybody, remember, we're not just doing the befriend your fear process to get wisdom from the fear or information. That's not nice, but that's actually the cherry on top in a way, if it happens. The core purpose is to just to be regulated with the discomfort, like to be able to have the fear, but feel a sense of regulation and grounding, even when the fear comes up, simply by being with it, loving it, having compassion with it, being friends with it, holding it alongside all the other wonderful things as well. So that would be my homework for you, would be to work with it a bit more.
Thank you. And I have one more question is, so when I sent the contract to her, I got this lovely email back saying the previous group she was in have now offered her free coaching so that she will not join with me, but she will consider it in January. So she's, I guess in that whole contract, she had 6 months of free coaching, but then she asked me, well, do I owe you for the session? And so I was like, I was going back and forth, because usually I do the first session is free. Like when you're doing an enrollment session or you're just talking to them, is that what you normally do or other people do? Because
I'll just share for myself. I don't charge for an enrollment session. It's a free opportunity to connect and to see not just if the client wants to work with me, but if I feel that it's aligned to work with the prospect. And that's not the only way. That's just my way. There are some people that charge for it, but I think if there is a charge, it's important to note that up front, so it's not like a weird retroactive thing. And then your question is reminding me, there is a piece that I just wanted to toss about the enrollment conversation that if you want to take it on might be helpful. When I'm in an enrollment conversation and someone says, yes, I want to sign up, before sending the contract, like in that conversation itself, we'll actually sort out the detail of, do you want to pay in full? Sometimes the person doesn't know on the spot and that's fine, but I will ask like, would you like to pay in full or would you like to do the payment plan? And I'll get their, if it is aligned for them, I'll get their payment information on the conversation there, you know, right then and there. And we'll also set up our first session and I'll let them know, I'll send you a welcome packet and contract and all of that. What I have found, the reason why you do that is that even when someone says yes, as you've learned, even when someone says yes, it's not necessarily a done deal.
Right.
And it's a little bit of a looser container to just have the verbal and then send all the contractual information. It is usually like a tighter and more aligned container and allows for less resistance that comes from a misaligned place if you kind of get those other logistics down before you get off the phone. Something still may happen, like whatever it is, but I find that that's just a tighter way to do it.
Absolutely. The fear took over and I was like, oh, shit, I gotta get off this phone. I gotta go type this contract and I can send it tomorrow. And I was like, oh my God. It just took me by surprise, because usually people take longer, right, to make a decision. In my case, that I've had. So
it's all good. Yeah, I think I'm glad that you're bringing this forward and I'm excited to see what will come through as you work with it.
Thank you.
Michelle.
Morning, everyone. So the things that I noticed were like a deepening of some things, like fear's not so bad. Like I knew that and talked to my kids about it and my clients about it. But just another reminder and deepening of that, as well as the a better ability to recognize when fear is the underlying motivator or feeling that's present on some of the bigger issues, let's say, in my own psyche. And that it's still super difficult to sit with fear on the really big things. Because it's easy when it's a little thing, but when it's like a big core belief or core emotion, that it's still super hard to allow myself to feel how big that is. So that's what I've been sitting with in terms of that. And maybe because of this and things that have just like a little river running through, you know, since we met in July, I feel a bigger ability to set boundaries that I would not have maybe because of fear. So like I had a client that just last night canceled a bodywork appointment for today. And I have a 24-hour cancellation policy. And so I had to remind her of that. And that's not something that I would have probably done before, because I was always a little, you know, felt weird about it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then also I had a coaching inquiry yesterday, which was nice because I don't get them very often. And in her inquiry at the end, she wanted to know my prices, and because I've heard coaches are really expensive. And so I was like, okay, how am I going to respond to that question? And in the past, I would have just given her my prices. I wouldn't have modified them, you know, even though she has a fear around how much coaches cost, but I would have given it to her outright because that was the question she asked. And this time I was like, but that, I don't really want to do that, because that just boils the relationship down to money. And it's so much more than that, you know? And so I just sent her an email saying, I'd like to get together with you and offer you a free session. And, you know, because we have to match, and you're going to want, you're working with someone on some of your, on some personal issues, and you don't even know me. Like, so, you know, and that there's so much to be gained from coaching that you cannot boil down to money. And so, you know, those were two boundaries that I set that I wouldn't have set before. So that's kind of cool.
Yay. That's awesome. So well done. It's like, again, these things that like, oh, we could say like there are little things, but they're not, these are big things because of the internal pieces that it takes. So well done. And this piece that you mentioned about, it's still really hard to be with the fear. I want to pull that out because it is true. Like, I don't want to say like, oh, Michelle, just practice a little more and then sitting with all the big fears is good. It's going to be great. And then you can, it's going to be great for all your clients sitting with the big fears. No.
No. Well, and honestly, I feel like it's really hard to ask my clients to sit with a big fear if I can't sit with a big fear. Like, how can I expect that of them?
Yes. Yes. Exactly. So I like, that's why I want to normalize that it's every now and again, it is easy and that's awesome. However, I want to normalize that it's okay to be uncomfortable when you do your inner work and when you support your clients, you know, for them to be uncomfortable. Like, discomfort is part of the process. And the more that we as practitioners can get more comfortable with discomfort, but also just know this truth that it's probably not going to be easy in moments. And we can support our clients to not feel judgment or shame around that, for, you know, to not pathologize that, whatever it is. And for that to just be a truth, that it is uncomfortable sometimes, more than sometimes, that alone is supports befriending the fear and feeling regulated even with the fear present, so that we can make better decisions with the fear present. So yes, 100% to it. And I think that's related also to the first piece that you said around, it's like, yeah, we know fear, you know, like, yes, we know cognitively, but embodying it more deeply means being willing to sit with the discomfort. So beautifully done. Thank you. Carlita.
Hang on, listen. Here we go. Oh, hi,
good morning.
Hi. There you are.
I have been so blown away by this process with my clients. It's been really helpful, particularly, you know, with how they can tend to get in their heads with different things. But I've been finding myself using it without necessarily naming things as fear, but just saying, oh, we have resistance here. Let's explore what this cynical disregard for, you know, possibilities is, or, you know, and it, I think it does come down to fear on some level, but I haven't necessarily needed to wait. I just realized we're at an impasse at understanding why this persistent feeling or persistent resistance is there. So I've gone into it and explored with them these different things, and it's been really, really helpful, and it's led to these breakthroughs with them. And I'm so just delighted to have this way past the mind that I feel like I have more of a facility with this skill now. And it was so helpful to watch you, Joanna, modeling with Ray how like different parts of this can show up, and it's like different aspects of it might show up in different parts of the body. So I had one client who found, you know, we were initially working with a sensation that was like in kind of her torso area, but then this other part came in that was like up above her head. And it was like, she's like, I get into this part of me that really believes I have a partner coming in, and it gets really like, I get really excited and I firmly believe it. But then it's like this other part exists to bring it down to earth. And it's because, you know, I think that what happens is she gets into that part of herself that really believes it, but there's an attachment there, and there's an unrealistic, you know, it's waiting for disappointment, you know, and thinks it's going to be the next thing, and gets attached to like, it's going to happen right now the way I expect it. And so it's really neat to watch these two parts emerge and to like initiate a conversation between them. So that they could begin, you know, and that's as far as we got in that session, but it was like to begin to realize these two parts are there, and the integration is to like bring these together and begin this relationship between them, so that she can, you know, be in contact with her hope and her belief that her a relationship is here for her, and be grounded about it and not think, you know, that she necessarily knows how that's going to happen or when. You know, and just it's been super helpful for me to have this. It feels so universal, and I, like I said, I think it comes down to fear a lot of the time, but it's just been like, oh, I have this thing we can't figure out, let's just go into the body. So I have loved it, and I'm just so grateful, and I just wanted to share how revelatory that's been.
I'm so glad. So well done. Just all around. And yeah, you know, resistance, you might remember from Sacred Depths, resistance is kind of just wrapped around fear. So it's like the outer layer distracting from the fear. So yes, 100%, when resistance comes up, you can go to the fear, and you don't have to name it as such. I love that you're bringing up this piece about the different parts too, and starting to create a dialogue with them. And I'm wondering, Carlita, I'm asking you for you, and I'm asking for everybody, for us to think about this a little bit. So if we go back to what we learned in Befriend Your Fear, and just everything, you know, that I always share, there's a difference between a breakthrough and a transformation. It sounds like awesome breakthrough happened with this client, and you'll follow it up too, you know, in sessions. But I'm wondering if the two of you co-created any homework for her to do together to go deeper towards transformation here, and what that homework was, if you did.
If I remember correctly, what we did was, I think she was going to start to interact with them in like written dialogues.
Beautiful. Good. So that she would interact with the part that really believes the relationship is coming, and then with the fear that it's not going to come or something's going to go wrong.
Yes, I think so. I'm actually looking at my notes on it now just to see if that adds anything to. But that'll take a minute.
That's okay. Good. So I want to hear. So that's a great homework to the persistent taking the breakthrough, working with it persistently and consistently towards a transformation. What other ideas does everybody have? And Cynthia, I'll get to your hand raised after this, but let's do a little kind of brainstorming, workshopping on this. What other alternative homework assignments could, you know, we don't know too many details, but just from the details we know, what are some other homework assignments that this client could have done to continue following through with the breakthrough and working it?
Who's the first thing what comes to my mind is actually embodying the different parts in different ways. Speaking and doing sort of a, like, continuing along the lines of somatic work, like really, like, if this part in her stomach area and if this part above her crown were to become people, you know, to actually, like, bring those out in different ways, to explore more from the inside what they have to say and what they're feeling, because it feels like they're both parts. There's the one part that felt more hopeful and wise, you know, was actually ungrounding to her in certain ways. So it feels like there's more to explore about, like, what's actually going on there, what's the story they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Good. Who else? What other ideas come up as homework or next steps in a situation like this? What could a client do on their own?
What about the fear tracker worksheet?
Yeah. Yes. So you all have in your member center, there's a fear track. So that's just now the client can go through their next week and notice every time this fear comes up. And the tracker is an opportunity they can, like, write when it came up, what was some of the environment pieces that were around them when it came up, or what were they doing, or whatever it is. And the idea behind this tool is to start noticing in the moment when the fear is there versus us just acting blindly from a fear that we don't even realize that's what's motivating the show. And then sometimes with the tracker, we may not catch it till the evening of, when we're like, oh, let's do the homework. You know, when did it come up today? But then you can actually start catching it in the moment, the more you track, and maybe even then bring a burst of love or compassion to it in the moment.
One thing my client did notice, she said it comes up in the morning, and she said that it wakes her up. And that's when she was planning on actually engaging it in dialogue. Cause that's when that's when she's actually keenly aware of this thought or feeling, and it's actually conscious in her mind. So that was her plan, was to engage it when it's right there first thing in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome and nicely done in supporting her to kind of see when it comes up for her. Christine is asking in the chat, what archetypes is she embodying from what Carlita was sharing before? Christina, she could embody the hopeful one, the one that is, like, hoping and knowing the relationship is coming. She could embody kind of that more fretful one as well, and kind of see more of what the inner dialogue is and the feelings are there. Mindy, is your hand raised to answer this question? You there, Mindy?
Sorry, I couldn't find where my mute button was. something that's been helpful to me, is sort of coming at this from a playful perspective. And I know for myself, what I'm doing is, I'll come up with sort of cartoonish characters. And I feel like, sometimes just talking, we don't use the word fear because that can make too scary, so we use resistance. But I just remember the original coaching program I went through, it came up with the idea of sabotage, which I know is there's fear under that. And I came up with this whole cartoon image of my fear, my savage. It was like this shark, but it was me with curly hair. And it was really kind of funny. It was such an easier way to come at it. It was an easier way for me to kind of keep bringing it into my mind and coming back to it. Yes. And it felt safer. And so for me, I like doing that with people. That's really been helpful for me.
I love that you're bringing that into the conversation. So because you can do, I mean, you know this from rewiring negative thought patterns and sacred depths too, but for everyone, you can do this as a, sometimes it's great to do it the way we practiced it in the retreat is like, where do you feel it in the body? But you can also do the same process as ask the client to imagine that this fear was a human or an animal, you know, if they were to come down as a in a human or animal form, what would this particular fear look like? What are the details of the fear, you know, and ask about the hair and how it dresses and the age and how it holds its body and the expression on the face. You can use that as you're saying, you know, in the process itself, but then the client on their own could maybe draw that or, you know, whatever, however they want to take it further with that. So there, it's not in them, but they're kind of connecting with it outside of them in this way. Beautiful.
Yeah, I think that was my big thing, that sort of, it took some of the fear out of it. It's not so close. And I always think if you can bring some playfulness in, that also helps.
Yes. Yeah. I'm glad you're saying both these things for sure. So for some people not having it internally, like that can help with the fear. Reminder though, whether it's the somatic in that way or the visualize out, to give it love, because the love that you're going to give out to it, well, you'll still, it's the love is still coming back at it inside of you, right? And the compassion and the friendship. And then this fun thing, I'm so glad you're bringing this forward too. Like, we don't, to go deep, you don't have to be heavy. There's a difference between deep and heavy, and there can't, you know, there are of course moments for heavy too, but there's so much depth and sacredness in play and fun and lightness, even as you're, I shouldn't say even, lightness as you're working with these fears and these pieces. It doesn't have to be like, we're so serious and this is so heavy, and right, like that playfulness for certain clients in certain moments. Absolutely. Thank you. Anything else that anyone want to share by way of homework and taking the breakthroughs that come through the process into some more like persistent and consistent to turn it into transformation? Any other thoughts or ideas on that? I'll add a couple of pieces. I think we spoke about this in the retreat, but it's good reminders. Making a collage that represents the highest wisdom of the fear that came out, or a collage that explores, you know, all the pieces of the fear, that's another great way to continue to befriend it. Action steps, right? So what's one outer action that I can take today with the fear, but that will lead me in the direction that I want to be going in? Cynthia.
Thanks, Joanna. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to comment. I missed the first retreat. Didn't have a voice and I was feeling ill, and it may or may not have been COVID, but anyway, I just did listen to the replay and just loved just the richness and everyone's beautiful participation. And I'm coming back from 10 days in California from my son's wedding. So I'm feeling kind of jet lagged today, but there's been kind of a family upset that's come out of the wedding. And so I have a whole new fear that I'm sitting with, and it's just really good to reconnect with this content with all of you and with my heart. So that was really just what I wanted to say.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome, welcome. We called you in at the retreat, and congrats on the wedding too. And I'm glad, it feels like this is maybe perfect timing for you to just sort of be with the fear in a different way. Do you have some thoughts on how you want to take it further and work with it?
Well, it involves very intimately my new daughter-in-law and my current daughter-in-law, and thus my two sons. And I'm realizing that I have, in my fear, kind of forgotten about the higher wisdom, and I think that's where I need to take it, is that next layer. I've been more just really working with the somatics in my own body, and really just the terror that I feel, and just trying to take that moment by moment has been quite challenging. Very, very, it's like I never saw this coming, you know. And so I feel maybe there's a possibility for me to just take it out a bit further.
Good. It sounds like you're already doing really beautiful work, just being present to yourself in the moment to moment. And so I just first want to acknowledge all that you're already doing. And I love that this piece is coming out of this time today, is connect into the higher wisdom around it too, and be with it. And maybe once the wisdom comes through, find ways to embody it also.
Yeah, that feels kind of far away right now. Thank you for that suggestion. And I also, something someone said was just about, you know, just reminding me that these are parts of me, that this isn't all of me. I feel really merged with the fear. And I have had a hard time accessing hope and possibility, which is always present. I know that, and yet it's been real hard to connect with that.
Would it be helpful for us to be with it together for a few minutes, to allow your kind of yourself to see it, not be so merged with it, but to see it from a different place?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, good. Because I'm so glad you're bringing this piece out of, sometimes when we're in the fear, it feels like it's all of us, but it actually isn't. It never is. It never actually is. Would it be okay to share what the fear is? What are you scared of?
Let's see. Kind of the core would be just an irreparable rupture in my family.
Yeah. Would it be okay to close your eyes and to be with that?
Yeah.
I'm going just for a little bit. Where are you feeling that fear? There'll be irreparable damage.
Why it keeps shifting. It just doesn't want to be felt. It was really present.
Mm-hmm.
throat is activated. It's kind of closing. And my gut just feels so hardened and like kicked, you know.
Your gut, say that again. Your gut feels what? It
feels hard, like either anticipating getting kicked or like it just did get kicked.
Yeah. I want to invite you to just be with the fear, to just feel it without needing for it to change in any way, but to just hold space for it in your throat and in your stomach, to hold space with love and compassion, as if you were to hold space for a client. And just be with it with love. And you can either ask your throat and your stomach, or one, whatever feels right, ask it from its highest wisdom. What is it that it wants you to know?
That I'm strong enough and have enough resources to be with whatever happens.
You're strong enough and you have enough resources to be with whatever happens. Yeah. You're doing really well, Cynthia. Where do you feel that truth in your body? That you're strong enough and you have the resources to handle this no matter what.
It's my low back, which is really weird. Because that's been really in a lot of pain.
Interesting. As you sense into that wisdom in your low back, that you have the resources and you have the strength, what does that truth feel like in your low back?
It's an open, it's like an open sturdiness. It's not tight. It's just like open and accessible.
Beautiful. You're doing really well. I want to invite you to lean into that open sturdiness in your low back. Let yourself have that feeling in your low back. Lean into it. And this truth that you have the strength and the resource that you need to handle no matter what comes.
It's like I'm not alone.
I just got chills when you said that. That in, let that drop in, know that truth inside of you. and ask your body wisdom, is there anything that it would like you to do over the next day or two? Anything that it wants from you?
To return to this position and just this knowing and really let it let it speak and let it be where I go. And like when my mind is, you know, replaying conversations, etc., just kind of thank the mind, but really know that this is where the true support is.
Yes. Is that something that you're willing to do?
Yes.
Good. You have a beautiful homework assignment. Good. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Joanna.
You're so welcome. What's feeling so much in that? What's feeling important to you? What are you really taking away?
Body really knows.
Yeah.
And I can trust the wisdom that comes forth.
Yes.
And really, like, I've been so analytical and, you know, I've been aware of that analysis, right? But I haven't been able to really find a way, a different way. And I feel like I've been given a gift of a truly profound way of relating to this that's like undergirds just like it just feels so supportive.
Yeah, I'm so happy. I could feel that when you were moving through the process. Really beautifully done. And yeah, because we didn't have time for like a full. I just tossed this. Also, my sense is that it might be really helpful to also do some journaling, just starting with I have the strength and the resources. Mm-hmm. And also to do some journaling with I am not alone. Mm-hmm. Also toss this as a journaling question. What is the connection between the fear of irreparable damage in your family and being alone? And maybe see what wants to come through there. Does that resonate for you?
It does, very much.
Beautiful. Thank you. Would it be okay if we discussed your process for a minute or two?
Totally. Okay. Totally. Happy to help.
Thank you. Who wants to pull something out of that beautiful work that Cynthia just did from a practitioner point of view? What did you learn, see, notice? What questions do you have? Rosa. Was that a hand raised by taking yourself up? No, okay, I wasn't sure. Who wants to share? Yeah, Tracy.
Well, the first thing that I noticed from like an energetic standpoint was the container you were holding for her to feel safe enough to go on this exploration, you know? And I thought that was just such a beautiful thing, because sometimes we don't even realize the energy that is moving through us as it relates to this fear. And I think when the fear energetically feels safe, then it will open up and share more of itself with us. And so I really appreciated, you know, just the space that you held. Yeah, that's what I wanted to share.
Yeah, I'm glad you're pulling that out. Again, like the energetics are so important. And one energetic piece, I didn't end up saying it because I saw Cynthia was going there on her own, but when she was like, oh, it's kind of all over, I could feel like at first a little bit of judgment, like it needs to be in one place. This isn't, you know, maybe not working, but then she went there, like, it's okay if it's in more than one place. And as practitioners, part of that, those energetics is you can say, like, just let it be if it wants to move all over. It gets to, right, like hold space and love for that too, right? So all those energetics, so important. Good, thank you. Who else? What do you want to pull out from that piece of work? Rosa.
I do want to say something, but my analytic mind was not on while you were doing this. So I wasn't pulling out in that sense, but I just have to comment on the, I guess it's energetics, but the incredible beauty, relaxation on Cynthia's face at the end of the process. You know, it's just like, I just felt like the strength in her back was just filling her whole body with light, and it was coming out of her face, and it was just amazing, wonderful, beautiful. And I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Yeah, agree. And it's really helpful also to share that with your client when you see that. So that would have been a great thing that I could have done in that moment, is reflect that back to Cynthia. Thanks for pulling that out. Who else? And raise your hand. So anyone else want to share? Linda.
First was just, I loved your question at the end to tie the fear of the irreparable damage with her fear of being alone. You know, it was like just right there, you know, and that was so beautifully put. For me, and where I come from, when this lower back or our back is actually the young energy in us, it's the masculine energy that we have, and we kind of don't think of things that way often as women, you know, but it's really there for us. And so to allow that to really be felt and know that's part of who you are and who we are is really a gift for us. We don't have to stand by ourselves and do this stuff. This energy is there for us. So that's kind of what I hear when I, you know, when I see these, when you felt that there, it was quite beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, we get to have all of the feelings and the pieces coming through and the strength. Yes. And yeah, that question at the end, there was something I wanted to say about the question. I don't remember what. I'm glad you're pulling that out, because it's a great place to go deeper with the pieces that came through. If anybody else wants to say anything about the question that articulately, let me know. Cindy. Oh, you're in. Yeah, there you go.
You couldn't telepathically hear what I was saying. I love the pacing and the repetition of her answer, because when we rush, we're going from one thing to the next, but not holding that energy of where she was feeling it in her body. And I was noticing when she said low back, oh, of course, that's root chakra, that's family, finances, career, like, so, you know, but you know, just allow her to have that time to feel and sense it, and then describe it. What it meant for her was important. And then personally for myself, is I realized, because I've had family issues, I have three daughters, I have two son-in-laws, it's like it brought stuff up. And I was like, I need to leave right now and just go get a drink of water. So it was really interesting for me that I'll go back and listen to this, that what was it that it brought up for me myself because I've had similar situations. So Cynthia, I feel from one Cindy to another Cynthia, I feel your pain and I've been there.
I'm glad that you noticed that for yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so good. And glad you're bringing up the pacing because it actually does relate to the question at the end. So with the amount of time that we had, because I knew it was going to be a short process, as the practitioner, I had to make some choices about what questions I was going to ask and how we were going to explore. And I purposely chose to not ask a question that you all have in the handouts of what event or series of events did this fear come from? It felt like for what we were doing, if I had to make some choices, I wanted to kind of get to the wisdom because Cynthia was talking about, I haven't thought about the higher wisdom. And so within the time of that container, that's where I wanted to go. But that being said, so much of the wisdom that came up in the end, like there are places to go more with that, with this event, you know, event or series of events that brought it into being, and also to make those cognitive awarenesses that we didn't in the process. And that was one of the reasons why I asked that question in the end. Thanks. All right, we have just a couple minutes left. I'd love to hear, I'd love for everybody to write down what's your big takeaway from our call. Got two questions. Number one, what's your big takeaway from our call today? Even if it's something you already knew, but you're taking it, it's gone deeper and that feels important, or if it's something completely new, what's your big takeaway from our call today?
It's really remembering the higher wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the higher wisdom is so important. I'm gonna ask one more question and then we'll have one or two more shares, hopefully. Based on everything that came through today, what's one action step you want to take? And that can be anything. So it can be an action step around your own fear, inner or outer. It can be something around client work. What's an action step that you'd like to take? Mindy's taking away, I'm on the right track. Keep trusting myself, beautiful. Christina's saying, continue building the strength of the pacing muscle, yes. So helpful to revisit the retreat, yes. Tracy, did you have your hand raised?
I did, and then I was gonna type it, but I'll share it here. I think also in asking the fear questions, can I be still enough? Can I have some patience in the waiting process versus wanting the answer to come? Like, can I just be still and give a little grace and space to what wants to be revealed?
Yes, 100%. And I just love the way you're sharing it too, because like we'll call it in real life, that's what we're doing all the time. I need the answer now. I'm wrong if I don't have the answer. I'm willing to entertain fear for a second, so long as it gets resolved in the next second, right? Or else, and then sometimes we can bring that even into the process, right? So remembering all that you just said in the process is helpful in the process, but then maybe helps us bring it out into the real world as well. Thank you. Cindy's action step is going to be around asking for money from coaching clients. Yes, good. I'm so glad. Carlita's saying the reminder that the wisdom isn't the point as much as the nervous system regulation, and then coming into compassionate relationship with the fear. Yes. Thank you so much, everyone. I hope that this conversation was as valuable for you as it was for me. It's just so good to be with all of you and with your wisdom. We've been quiet in the Facebook group, which is absolutely fine, but just a reminder, if there's anything that you need in between sessions, please just let me know, let us know, post. And I'll see y'all in a couple of weeks. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.